Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears that it may bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every generation always debates the greatness of its movies, the greatness of its music, greatness of its athletes. Who is the GOAT, as the question goes? The GOAT, the greatest of all time. Are the new remakes, the countless big-budget redos of original movies, better than the original with their limited and dated special effects? Or are the originals the greatest? Is Taylor Swift greater than the Beatles? LeBron or MJ? Who's the GOAT? Every generation wants to debate greatness. And that's the question the disciples put before Jesus in today's gospel reading. Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus answers their question by inviting forward a child to stand before them. And he tells the group, unless you turn and become like this child, unless you turn and become like children, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven, much less be the greatest one there. Whoever humbles himself like this child, that one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's plenty to be said about Jesus' answer all by itself, but it's helpful to continue looking at the larger flow of Matthew like we've been doing since June. We spent the last two Sundays in Matthew chapter 16 hearing Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ and hearing Jesus' answer that being the Christ means taking up the cross, that to follow Jesus means walking the way of the cross. Today's gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 18, which means we jumped over Matthew chapter 17 entirely. Matthew 17 begins with the transfiguration, Jesus taking the disciples, three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on the mountain and displaying for them all the brilliance of his divinity. The disciples, of course, want to stay on the mountain and bask in the glow of Jesus. But Jesus says no. To be the Messiah is to walk the way of the cross. And so they come back down the mountain. And then after a brief conversation about John the Baptist, another one about the disciples' lack of faith, Jesus once again predicts his death and his resurrection. He says to be the Messiah is to die. And then today's reading opens with the words, at that time, or in that hour. Matthew wants us to connect the disciples' question with Jesus once again predicting that to be the Messiah is to go to the cross. What Matthew emphasizes over and over again is just how hard it was for the disciples to think about a Messiah who was a suffering Messiah, a humiliated Messiah. And even more so, how hard it will be to be a follower of Jesus, to walk the way of the cross for them and also for us. Matthew puts this before us over and over again. We saw it already in Matthew chapter 16. We'll see it again in Matthew chapter 20 when Jesus predicts his death yet again, and that's followed up by James and John's mother asking Jesus to put her sons at his right hand and at his left. Every time Jesus speaks of his death, someone comes back to him and speaks of glory. And Jesus has to shoot it down over and over again. Here in today's text, Jesus predicts his death, and the disciples respond by asking who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When Peter rebuked Jesus, Jesus responded by saying that to follow him is to bear your cross. When James and John asked to be put in places of honor, Jesus teaches them that the true honor comes not from being served in a position of prominence, but from being a servant. And in today's text, when the disciples ask who is the greatest, Jesus emphasizes that to be a follower of Jesus, the life of a follower of Jesus, is not marked by greatness. It's marked by weakness, dependency. Because ultimately, that's what the life of a child is. That's what life looks like for kids. They don't do anything for themselves. We don't blame them for it. They depend on their parents for everything. That's the point Jesus is making to his disciples. That's the point he's making to us. His point is not that children are somehow innocent, not yet corrupted by the ways of the world. His point is not that for us to be a follower of Jesus, we too must become innocent and not corrupted by the ways of the world. That's not what he's saying at all. His point is that children are helpless. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you need to stop trying to be great. You need to realize that you're actually helpless. It is not you who sustains your own life. You do not cause the rain to fall. You do not cause the food to grow. I mean, sure, you may pick it up and put it in your mouth and chew it, but you don't consciously facilitate the digestive process in your body. You may occasionally hold your breath or take a deep breath, but you don't cause your lungs to work. You don't cause your heart to beat. You are dependent upon God for every aspect of your physical existence. You are helpless. You are a child. And the same is true of physical existence, or spiritual existence. Our spiritual existence depends entirely upon the mercy of our Lord. We may pray, we may confess our sin, we may desire to hear and learn God's word, but it's not me doing those things by myself. It's not you. The Holy Spirit is at work in us, creating in us a clean heart, one that desires the things of God. The Holy Spirit is at work in us, reshaping our will, reshaping our desires so that they are in line with God's goodness. The disciples want to ask about greatness. The disciples have been following Jesus for a few years now. They're part of the inner circle. They've been privy to the private teachings of the Messiah. He spends more time with them than he spends with the crowds. They've even done a few miraculous signs themselves. So the question arises, who is the greatest? How often do we struggle with a similar question? We're all Christians. We're regular in worship most of the time. We're generally good people. Or, well, at least we're better than those corrupt politicians and the human traffickers and the junkies and the drug dealers. We pray. We sing. We take communion. We baptize our babies. We have the purest teaching of any denomination. We're tempted to look at the world around us, to look at the church around us, and to ask with the disciples, Jesus, aren't we the greatest? Who is the greatest in your kingdom, Jesus? Is it me? Or if it's not me, at least how far up the ladder am I? What else do I have to do to get to that top rung? Jesus' answer doesn't change. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you turn your thinking on its head and become like children, you will surely not enter the kingdom of heaven. Stop chasing your own ideas of greatness. Become like children. Children who possess nothing but need everything. Children who earn nothing but receive everything as a gift. Jesus calls us to repent of a heart that chases the world's greatness and to instead rejoice in the life that he gives us as children. Think about it. Think about how glorious the life of a child actually is. I mean, when we're kids, all we want to do is grow up. But with the wisdom of experience, we look back fondly on the days of childhood. We see them for what they were. How many times have you longed for the simpler days of childhood? Not having to worry about money, or balancing the budget, or paying bills. Well, that's not your problem in the kingdom of God. Jesus pays the cost for your redemption. He gives it to you freely, because you are his child. We look back on the days of our childhood of not having to make dinner, not having to do laundry, not having to do yard work. That's not your problem in the kingdom of God. Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. Jesus has fulfilled the demands of the law. There's nothing left for you to do. You are his child. Think about naps. Parents are forever trying to get their kids to lay down and rest, and kids don't want to do it. But then as adults, we often feel guilty about needing to take a break, needing to take some downtime. We can't rest, we tell ourselves, there's just too much to do. But Jesus invites all who are weary and burdened to come find their rest in him. And that rest is yours, for you are a child of God. And then there's always summer vacation, time where there's pretty much nothing for you to do. And in a strange way, your life as a child of God is a life of perpetual summer vacation. The demands of the law have been met for you. And so you get to approach each day as you did when you were a kid on vacation, not asking, oh, what do I have to do today? But asking, what adventure does my Lord have for me today? What gifts will he give to me? You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? For whoever humiliates his ego and pride and becomes as helpless as a child, that one is the greatest in the kingdom of God. That image sets the tone for the rest of what Jesus has to say in these verses, the rest of Matthew chapter 18, actually. And see, in the rest of today's text, Jesus shows what that looks like in practice with each other. Because not only do I see myself as a child of God, we are called to see each other the same way. To receive each other as children. And to treat each other as children. Jesus extends the metaphor for the rest of the chapter. He uses the language of children, but he's really talking about each and every one of us. He's talking about all believers. And he says, don't make another believer stumble. Don't make one of these children of mine stumble. Whoever causes a child of God to sin, it would be better for him to have a giant millstone fastened around his neck, be drowned in the depths of the sea. Strong language from our Lord. What's he saying? Well, he's saying, you know that concern you feel that in the pit of your stomach when you see a child left in a hot car? When you see a child who's stuck in an abusive home? Have that care and concern for all your brothers and sisters in Christ. Have that care and concern for all of God's children. That is greatness in the kingdom of heaven. He says to search for one another if one of us wanders away. For it is not the will of our Father in heaven that a single child of God should perish. And so you know that panic and that concern that you feel when one of your kids wanders away at the mall or the grocery store? Or even more so, you know how you'll drop everything to help that panicked mother who's frantically looking for her lost child, even if you have no idea who this lady is? Have the same care and concern for the souls of any of the children of God who wander away from him. That is greatness in the kingdom of heaven. And try to gain each other back from sin. For if one listens, you have gained a brother, Jesus says. And so you know how a parent never wants to give up on an estranged child, even when it seems like that relationship is broken beyond repair? Have the same dedication. Have the same care for all the children of God. That is greatness in the kingdom of God. And as we'll hear next week, forgive each other because you have been forgiven so much. That is life as a child of God. And that is greatness in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus says, let's leave the debates about greatness where they belong. We all know Jordan was better than LeBron. We all know, well, I shouldn't say the Beatles are better than Taylor Swift. Those are debates for worldly things. We leave them where they belong. We don't bring greatness into our conversations about being a child of God. Stop trying to impress God with your strength. Become like a child. Recognize your need, confess your sin, and rejoice in the forgiveness that is already yours. And treat your brothers and sisters in Christ as God's beloved children. Don't cause each other to stumble. Pursue the one who wanders away. Rejoice to be reunited with the one who is estranged. Knowing that God has put you in his church to surround you with people who will not cause you to stumble, who will pursue you if you are the one who wanders away, and who will rejoice to be reunited with you if you ever become estranged. This is life as a child of God. A life of needing him, but also a life of being provided by him beyond anything we could ever hope or imagine. May God grant us such a life in him. In Jesus' name, amen.